Dear friends, this year is almost to the end. And whenever that happens, there's a time of reflection about what has happened, and of course, to look forward to the next year. So if you look back at this year, what has your life centered itself around? What was important for you? And in which thing did you find your joy? What are the things that made you want to get up out of the bed in the morning? Well, if your life this year had been played up on this projector here before all of us, what would other people think about what was important for you? And what would people say? Oh, that's what they have their joy in. But the most important, how does God look at our life? Everything is open before him. So what would he say that we have our joy in? He can see that. So we all think about things that we might regret or we wish that they were different. And I definitely don't say that to judge anybody or so that we would just more in a moralistic way pump ourselves up and make a facade on the outside where we just try to achieve some kind of pattern. We need to go to our hearts and in the light of God's word, we want to see what are we living for. And the most important is my question, how is your life with God? Do you have your joy in him or in something else? In Jeremiah 2, verse 13, it says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Everybody that's here has a tendency to seek our joy and our happiness in something besides the Lord, although he is the source of living water. What we're going to do in the next three sermons is to give a hope and a health, be able to see and to go to this source of joy, and that is God himself. In the coming three sermons, we want to speak about three things that want to help us as Christians to have our joy in the Lord. So, it's our life with God in the Bible, in his word. It's our life with God in prayer, and our life with the body of Christ, this church. At the same time, there's a danger that those things can just be a dead moralism where we try to check off things on our list. Okay, read the Bible. Okay, pray. Okay, be with our family in Christ. And that's wonderful to do those things. But if those are not connected to this source where the gospel is in Christ, so all those things can just be a dead religion. It's so easy that we put on each other's a burden. Say, do more. But if it's not grounded in the idea that it has been done, it has been done, it has been done. Jesus has done for us through the gospel. If we don't have that ground, then it will just be dry, 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 and dead, dead, dead. But if we are connected to the source in a close relationship with God, those three things will lead to life, life, life. And we that are preaching these sermons, we're not even close to getting to where we want to get to. In my situation, I feel like I could preach that before the mirror, because these are areas I need to grow in, have a deeper relationship with God. So pray for us that are preaching. When we pray for you, that all of us would drink deep from the source of salvation and to grow through a living relationship with God. So today we're going to speak about life with God in the Bible. We're going to focus on Psalm 1, which we just sang. There's two ways to live that are described there. It's the blessed, the one who is blessed or happy. It's the blessed's life that is written about as the righteous way. And then we see the sinner's way. And that is talking about, both of those words are talking about what they lead to and where we have our joy. So we'll read again Psalm 1, and Danny will read it in Swedish. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Lord, we pray truly that you would use these words, you would speak to us, that you would make your word alive. We do want to grow in a deeper relationship with you as individuals and together as a church. So help us this year that we would be able to drink deep from this source of water, of living water, and to have this wonderful relationship with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us focus on two ways to live. The first way to live is talking about having your joy in the Lord and his word. What does that mean? We read in verse 1 what it doesn't mean, and then verse 2, what it does mean. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So don't walk in the sinner's way, not stand in the way of sinners, and not sit in the seat of scoffers. And then verse 2, he has his delight in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates, he thinks about it day and night. So here we're speaking about the righteous, the joyful one who is blessed. That person does not fall, or in the original language, they don't walk in the wicked's way. It even means to not walk in the wicked's advice. And so with the wicked, it doesn't mean atheist. It can really mean practically those who live their lives in an unholy and sinful lifestyle without taking God in the center. These are the ones that forget about God. Oh, forget, I don't care. It's a question about their lifestyle. The blessed one does not walk in their advice and doesn't walk in the sinner's way. And so original language, it says even to stand in the sinner's way. He doesn't sin, even sit among the way of sinners or scoffers. So why is this? He has his joy in the teaching of the Lord, and he focuses on it day and night. He has his focus on the Lord's teaching, which he can focus on day and night. So here we have a person that is living with God, focused on him and thinking about him, meditating on him, and even remembering and repeating God's word day and night. So why is that? In some ways, that can be a dead religion. The Pharisees and the teachers, they did that day and night. But when Jesus stood before them, they didn't even understand that it was he that the scriptures were speaking about. They couldn't even see Jesus, even though they had filled their heads full with knowledge. They'd memorized the text, which is good, but without the source of God himself, it's dead. They were not blessed or holy. So what is it that separates them from the one who is truly blessed? The one who is blessed is explained as someone who has their joy in the teaching of the Lord. The word is the Torah, which is the law, which was part of the Bible that people had access to in that time. And Jesus even says the law, to speak about the whole Old Testament's scriptures. And for us, we can even include the whole Bible, the Old and the New Testament. Those who are blessed have their joy in God's teaching. But even more than that, they're focusing on who this teaching is teaching about. It's God himself, the good news about him. The one who is blessed is not blessed because they like to study and read the Bible. They're blessed because they have their joy in a relationship with the Lord, which is what the whole Bible is talking about. So who is this blessed one talking about? There is a reflection that we've read about a man named Joseph Flax, who visited Israel at some point. And when he was there, he started speaking before Jews and Arabs, and he decided to speak from Psalm 1. So he read Psalm 1 and he asked them, who is this psalm about? Who is this that has never walked in the sinner's way, never stood in the sinner's way, never sat among scoffers? And Flax, this man, he said, was that our great father Abraham? An older man said, no. Abraham denied that he was married with his wife, so he lied. It couldn't have been him. Maybe it was Moses. No, said someone. He killed a man, and he lost his temper at Meribah. Then Flax said, well, maybe it was David. No, it couldn't have been David. He sinned with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. It was quiet for a long time. An older Jewish man said, my brothers, I have a little book that's called the New Testament. I read in it, and if I can believe it, then I would try to say that the man in the first of Psalms is Jesus from Nazareth, Jesus is the only who never walked in the counsel of the wicked. He never stood in the way of sinners. That means to never be part of their way of life. He is the only one that is totally sin-free. And he has his joy in his Father and his teaching. He is the King, that Psalm 2, which is the next Psalm, is focusing forwards on a King who goes after David. So how can we be blessed? How can we have this joy? Yeah, it's because Jesus has gone before us. In Psalm 32, verse 1 to 2, which Jonathan read in the beginning here, which is also cited in Romans 4, it says, "Blessed is the one who has sin, crime forgiven, has sin covered over. Blessed is this one of whom the Lord does not count his sin." We have a big problem, and that is that we are all sinners who deserve God's punishment. So blessed is them who've had their sins forgiven, their sins covered, so that the sin does not witness against us. Blessed is then the one of whom the Lord does not count his sin against him. Blessed is the one of whom the Lord doesn't hold his or her sin against them. How can that happen? In the end of Psalm 2, verse 12, it says, "Blessed are all those who take refuge in him." So all who take refuge in Jesus are blessed. They're blessed. And that's why Jesus came, to take our punishment. Our sin was counted on Jesus. And through faith, we have his righteousness counted towards us. So when the Father sees us, he sees us clean, righteous, and forgiven. We're holy and we're blessed because Jesus and what he's done. So that is the most wonderful treasure, that we can be saved from sin and the punishment of sin to a wonderful fellowship with God. If we would really understand what that means, then we should have our joy in him. When I met my wife, then I didn't want to do anything else than to be with her. And I loved spending time together with her. How much more should we, as who are Christians, have our joy in the Lord? The more we start to understand what salvation means and how deeper our relationship with the Lord becomes, well, how much more we shouldn't have our joy in him. So what do we want to do then? We want to spend time with him, in his word, in prayer, and with his people. So here we see that the blessed has his joy in the Lord, because he knows the Lord. So it's not anything that he's forced to do. He can find that he can focus on the teaching of the Lord day and night. Sometimes we can go through dry periods in our spiritual life when the Bible reading and prayer might feel dry. The answer to that is not to try harder. Do more, just because you need to do more. But to clearly come closer to the source of water, God himself, through the gospel. To be planted in him. In my older teenage years, I went through a faith crisis where I started to question my own faith and what I had been taught as a child. I wasn't doing well, and I started to seek God, something that gave me life was to memorize, to think about, and to focus on Bible verses. And even today, those verses that I memorized helped to carry me through life. And they've been so life-giving and give me such a wonderful hope. So if your Christian life has become cold, come back to the source and taste and see that God is good. A wonderful tool, which I myself enjoy a lot, is these small books called Explore, or what we also call a bigger book called Time with God. And then you read slowly through Bible books and you get questions that help you just stop and think and reflect and even apply the words from the Bible text. And if you'd like to be with us, so will many of us read Time with God. It's a gray and white book that's over on the book table. It's also available as a PDF in English. We'll be reading that together during this year. And of course, we'll start tomorrow. We'll have a WhatsApp group for the ones that want to be with and encourage each other, just to share what's been encouraging, what the text has meant for you. What a treasure. How wonderful it is. With a joyful fellowship with God through His Word, to really enjoy and rejoice in Him. And how much more I just long to grow in Him. Let's hold each other in our prayers that we might grow in our lives with the Lord in His Word, so that we can really understand and rejoice over the gospel and the truth of the Bible. It would change us, that it might lead us to a joyful service and blessing to others. So that takes us to the next question. What is the result of having your joy in the Lord and His Word? We get the answer in verse 3 of Psalm 1. It says, He, the blessed, is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What a beautiful picture. In a land where you knew what it was like to have a climate that was all dried out, then it especially becomes a beautiful picture. The blessed, the one who has his joy in the Lord and his word, well, it leads to a man like a tree planted by the source of water that bears his fruit in the right time, and his leaves don't wither. A fruit tree, not just something that's there for yourself. A fruit tree is there so that others could enjoy its fruit. So when we have our joy in the Lord, He's the source, our living water. And when we drink from that water, then we can even be a blessing to others. Life, and again, life. Jeremiah 17, it connects to Psalm 1. It takes one step more, and it goes on from the Lord's teaching to the Lord himself. And it says that the ones who just trust in the Lord and have the Lord as their comfort and their safety. So we're going to read Jeremiah 17, verse 8. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the year of drought. It does not cease to bear fruit. And maybe this year will be a dry year. But it says, he will not cease to bear fruit. And we see here that not life is not always a dance on roses. We meet hot, dried out, and hard years. We come where we will all have these hot, these hard years when the pressure and the temperature goes up. Maybe you feel sick. Maybe something hard has happened to you or a family member or a friend. We will all meet challenges. But in despite of that, but a person who trusts in the Lord finds their joy in his teaching and bears fruit, it's not the end for them. And that's something that has encouraged me so much when I've seen others' examples. For example, some of you or our friend Trevor, when they've gone through challenges, it's like a perfume that's come out through their lives in their difficulties. And even in their difficulties, they blessed others like a fruit tree where others can even rejoice of eating the fruit from their life. So Jesus shows us that through his suffering and death, it became our salvation, blessing, and life. We have to keep going back to the basics of life with God. Life with God. There's no way to get around this. That is where joy comes from, and that leads us to the Spirit's fruit, which is a blessing for others. There's situations where we might naturally show the opposite. Then the Lord teaches us the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So this year, let's seek to grow deeper in a deeper relationship with Jesus through his word. And then our lives will come to be more and more of a blessing for others. Rejoice in him. Focus on his word day and night. And it will change your life as a joy for yourself and for others. So now for the first, we focused on how to live, to respond to the gospel, and have our joy in the Lord and his word. But there's another way to live. There's another way that we see in Psalm 1 that's pointing to this sinful life. And so we're reading again from Psalm 1. What does it mean? Instead of having your joy in the Lord and his word, the man we read about is seeking a different source, an empty source that can't hold water. Verse 1, it says to it's talking about walking in the wicked's way, standing in the sinner's road. In other words, to be part of their sinful lifestyle and to sit among scoffers. Here we see a life without God, a life where people don't even think about God, a life that's characterized where we serve sin. In Jeremiah 7 that we spoke about before, it's a contrast between the blessed who focuses on the Lord and depends on the Lord like a tree planted by the water. And now in contrast, we see the one who is cursed, who trusts and puts their trust in man. That person is like a dry bush in the desert that doesn't get to see anything good come. What a contrast. May we seek after the Lord and have our joy in him. The people of Judah in Jeremiah had looked after other sources, but they couldn't keep water. They didn't have any water in them. They had put their trust in people instead of God. And that's so easy for us to do as well. We seek our joy and our refuge in people instead of God. And sometimes it feels like it's not wrong to have our trust in others, but it needs the right proportions. Someone goes even further with a lifestyle where people are living for sin and they're taking part of the wicked lifestyle. So what does that lead to? Verse 4, 5, and 6 of Psalm 2, Psalm 1. Excuse me. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The way of the wicked will perish. The wicked, the ones who live for sin without taking God as even a thought in their minds. They are not like a tree planted by water. They're like chaff that's blown away by the wind. What is chaff? What is chaff? So now we have another farmer's illustration. Chaff, it's the little encasing that's a round piece of grain. So maybe if you've eaten oats, sometimes you'll even find the casing in the package. In Israel at this time, people took their grain after the harvest and they hid the seeds so that the chaff would get loose. Often they would do that at a place that was a little bit higher up so that there would be some wind. They would even throw the grains up in the air and the chaff would blow away. So just like chaff that blows away at the harvest, so are the wicked who live in sin without having a thought about God. They will not stand God's final judgment, and they will not be able to stand in righteousness in his eternal congregation. The end is in verse 6 that they will perish. Only the ones that have found their refuge in Jesus are blessed through faith. And that is because they've had their sins forgiven. The ones where the Lord has not counted their sins, he instead sees Jesus' righteousness in them. So in Psalm 1, we see two ways to live. Either to have our joy in the Lord and his word, which will come through the gospel, and it's something that we grow in the more we know God. That would lead to that we would bear fruit and be as a blessing for others. And in the end, we would be able to enjoy the source of life, God himself, in all eternity. The other way of living is to seek our joy in a life without God, to serve sin, which will lead to that we would perish. So how is it with you? Have you found your joy in God? Have you been able to get to know him for who he is? Maybe you're still learning more, like the Jewish man who started to read the New Testament. Why not start this year to read the New Testament, to taste and see that God is God good? If you'd like to read the Bible with someone in church together, come and speak to me or with someone else. So there are two ways to live, a life with God or a life without Him. Jesus has opened up the way to a life with God in eternal, wonderful fellowship with Him. We live in a time where many things are competing for our focus. I would really like to encourage you all in this coming new year to prioritize seeking God in His Word, to go to the source of life and joy. I can't promise you a problem-free life. I can't promise a life without difficulties and challenges. But if you draw close to God, in a life in Him, in His Word and prayer and in fellowship with believers, you will be like a tree that's planted by the water. You don't need to be like Jeremiah 17:8 and be afraid of heat when hard situations come in our life. You don't have to worry about the dry year or how it would be if it would be a very hard year for you. You will never stop bearing fruit. We do have so much to be thankful for. The Lord is faithful. He never leaves us. He's with us. And what an opportunity, what a privilege we have in this year to grow and to rejoice in the Lord and His Word. So let us do that. Let's rejoice in the Lord, in His Word, and what He has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we are all sinners, and we are not this holy or this blessed as we should be. We thank You that Your Son is the true Holy One, that He has given us this blessedness through His death and resurrection. Thank You that through faith that we can be blessed. Thank You, Lord, and we pray that You would give us this opportunity to drink deep from the well of the source of life. Thank You that we have freedom, that we can seek through Jesus to the throne of grace. I pray for each one of us, even the ones that are not here today, that we need to grow closer to You this year. I pray especially for those who feel this has been a dry year, that have had a hard year. I pray especially that You would encourage them and bless them in their relationship with You. I pray that each one of us would be able to taste and see that You are good. Protect us. Take care of us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen.